Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
As you're turning there, let me say I want to continue on with a series that I started in April, and I just can't get it out of my heart. This is what's continued on, and I love it. I love what God is speaking through this, just some real powerful things. Our vision this year is be holy as I am holy. That's what the scriptures say in Peter. Be holy as I am holy. And so as I got on this series, I thought this is going to go right with our vision because it's very important that we understand that God gave us some real direction in life on how we can obtain holiness. Another word for holiness is perfection. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, we will start there. It says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I haven't achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. Looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature, or let as many as be perfect in some of your translations, agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you, or you might say, that God will correct your thinking. Are we in a position where we can be corrected? I think that a lot of times we would say yes until we are. And I know that we're in a position in life where we can be, but are we willing to be? That's the question that I should ask. We've talked about the last few weeks, understanding perfection, having a humble heart, being like the master, not like the world. We have an example that's already set. God corrects, but God doesn't condemn. We've talked about being pruned for greater fruit. And then last week, we talked about who can correct whom. And if you weren't a part of any of those, all those are on podcasts, and I want to encourage you to look those up and to listen to them. Now, we're talking today about reaching perfection. And a thing that is often said, and I will continue to repeat this, is, well, Pastor, come on, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. And that's a place where most people would say, and I agree, they're not. Most people are not perfect. In fact, no one's perfect. Well, what does perfect mean? Perfect means fully developed, complete, developed to its end. Well, I'm not done with my life, so how could I be perfect? I can't be perfect. Well, Matthew 5:48 says, be perfect as I am perfect. Why would God ask you to do something that you couldn't do? You ever thought about that? God asked me to be perfect as I am perfect. Now, that's the words that has been translated. Be perfect as I am perfect. Why? Nobody's perfect. Be careful about saying nobody's perfect, because you find yourself in violation of Scripture. Scripture says, be perfect as I am perfect. That's what the Word says. Well, how do you do that? 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Here's what you got to see. He's not talking about being perfect where you never would make a mistake. He's saying that your heart needs to be in a position that you're pursuing him at all times, and he sees that as perfect. So I just kind of let you off the hook. Well, I didn't think anybody could be perfect. Isn't that why we need Jesus? Absolutely. That's why you need Jesus, and your pursuit of him then makes you perfect. Everybody agree? We got some nodding of heads there. Your perfection lies in where your heart is. So today, is your heart pointed towards him? Let me just say that you being in church doesn't mean your heart's pointed towards him. Now, when your heart's pointed to him, you'll want to be in church. Our walk has to be towards him. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Being that it's Father's Day, and as you're turning there, Hebrews 12. This scripture is so profound to me because I find the older I get that as I watched parents that I once knew as children, I watched them facing the same trials that their parents faced with their kids. Anybody ever see your kids going, oh man, I can't believe they did that, but if you'll remember, you did the same thing. What is that same thing? It's called sin. And sin is a messed up deal that every one of us have to deal with. And as we understand that, we shouldn't be so surprised when our kids are in a position where, wait. The Bible says evil is bound up in the heart of a child. Now, it can be removed from him. How? Rod. Correction. And I'm just here to tell you today that a lot of people don't want to correct their children. We just need to let their children be. And so now we've got a society with a bunch of kids that have never been corrected. And we're standing here going, what are we going to do? Well, the problem is when a kid can't be corrected and then they become an adult, how's God ever going to correct that adult? See, they never received correction as a child. Now they're an adult and they still need some correction. Because come on, as adults, we still occasionally need some correction, or maybe oftentimes need some correction in our thinking and the way that we're operating. If we were perfect, then we wouldn't need Jesus. But because of Jesus, we have perfection. And we need to walk in it, and the way we walk in that is through corrections. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, talking about in chapter 11, all of the men and women of faith that we have seen in Scripture, many mentioned there, says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin. So there's weight that can slow you down of wrong thinking or thinking that you didn't realize was wrong. There's a weight that is there. There are things in life that are weight, and there's sin, and they're two different things. But they both slow us down. And it says, let us run the race, run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Verse 10, jump on down a few. Our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us so that we might share in his holiness. See, what the Bible's saying is, there is a work that needs to take place in getting us like him. There's a work that goes on that gets us like him. Verse 11, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there'll be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So take a new grip with your tired hands. Strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. Job 5:17 says, blessed or happy is the man who God corrects. You want to get happy? You want to get joyful? You want to be blessed? Let God correct you. Let the word come alive for you today, and let's walk out of here with a new attitude. We should desire, we should receive correction gladly, knowing that God has our best interest in mind. Now, let me go back and say, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's just not fun while it's happening. I know. I've been whooped a few times. I've been whooped a lot. And not just by my mom and dad. There were times that I remember God just speaking directly to me and correcting some thinking that I had messed up. Come on, has anybody been there? You hear something, or you're reading something, or you're, oh man, I was thinking totally wrong. And I've stood on that point and I was wrong. Oh, that hurts. God has discipline for his children. And I want to talk today about what that discipline should produce in your life. We've talked all about it for the last 7 weeks that I've been in this study. Let's talk about today what it produces. Here's what it produces for you. It produces healing in the area that you are being corrected in. Come on. It produces healing. It takes getting to the place where we can admit that we were wrong and that we receive correction. What happens when we get to the place where we can admit that we are wrong and receive the correction of God? We receive his love, and it comes through correction, and we get all of that. We've talked all about that. But what happens? Here's what happens. This word that the Christians like to talk about, that we get, it's called grace. The unmerited favor of God comes on your life when you get to the place where you can receive correction. Grace will heal your hurt. Grace will help you get past the shame of the deed or the issue. See, out of the condemnation, out of the shame, grace lifts you up. It's favor. And if it's favor and it's help, then it's power for you. Would you agree with that? Now, I tell people this a lot. Be careful about asking for grace. You can put yourself in a position, though, to receive it. But a lot of people are praying, God, please give me your grace. Give me your grace. His grace is available if we put ourselves in the position for it. I want to talk about that today. I think it's really important that we get this. It's something that I don't think it's talked a lot about. But if you'll repent and if you'll turn from what you were doing, grace happens. I remember as a child, when I was getting whooped, when I was getting corrected, if I would just, I messed up, and I that jaw would loosen up, not be so tight. Come on, that you can see a resolve in the heart of the person being corrected. And I remember when I got there, all of a sudden, I would receive the grace of my mom. I didn't deserve it. I had messed up royally. But my mom would wrap her arms around me. And all of a sudden, I thought, it's going to be all right. But if I continued to walk in the rebellion, I continued to walk in the correction. And no discipline is fun while it's happening. And so I ruined a lot of times that I could have been having fun because I was walking in rebellion and not receiving what I could have had was grace. I think you can get that when you're talking about going back to childhood. If God is willing to help you with his grace, then don't you want it? Wouldn't you want it? Come on, God's grace is there. And today I believe God's grace is going to pour out onto some hearts and lives of people. Will you agree with me today that that's going to happen? God's grace is going to pour out because we're going to get to a place where as we talk about this and we think about it, we're going to understand some things like we hadn't understood it before possibly. Correction or discipline, if it works, does what? It brings attention to the wrong. Would everybody agree with that? See, correction or discipline brings attention to the wrong. And as that attention is seen by the person who committed the wrong, then they see that. And if discipline works, they turn from that wrong. And there is a humbling or there's a repentance that overcomes their being. And then they see, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to walk in a different direction. I'm going to walk in a different direction. You ever told a child no, because they're reaching out for something and you say no? Remember back to the toddler years, they're reaching for something. Just yesterday, Marie, the Olson family's here. Marie has been leading our camp this week. And I just love watching the dynamics of family. You've got her mom and dad that were sitting there, and her sister is sitting there, and they're holding their child, Marie's child. And they're just having a great time with her. And all of a sudden, I hear LaFawn, Marie's mom, say, I just let her pinch me. Why? Because Teresa was correcting this precious child who was pinching her. And she'd reach out and grab her hand. And I heard Grandma say, I just let her pinch me. There's no need for correction of a grandchild. Just let her pinch me. And I couldn't get that out of my head. Y'all didn't know I was going to preach on this today. Just let her pinch me. So, Aunt's correcting, trying to be as great as she can. But Aunt's not a mom. Yet. That I know of. Not a, So she's just taking the niece and, "You're not going to pinch me," and grabs her hand, and she's grabbing her hand. Well, here comes mom to the rescue and comes over and gets her, because mom's going to go ahead and make sure she's corrected and she's not going to pinch the ground. "I just let her pinch me." She said it a couple times, like, I was paying attention. Nobody else was listening to you, Mom. I get that. But the kids were, and they're going to correct that wrongdoing. Let me just tell you that when Teresa corrected her, and then Mom took over, and "You're not going to pinch anybody." She wasn't saying that, but she was watching it. And I was thinking, that little girl's going to pinch again. Because there's a grandma in her life. Grandma, slow down the process of correction. And some of the closest people in your life slow down the process of correction. Some of the closest people to you slow down the process because they get on your bandwagon that, "No way, you shouldn't have been corrected there. You shouldn't have been told what to do." Come on, friends in school. You tell that your mom and dad said no, and they're like, "Oh, that wasn't right." And you start thinking, "You're right, that wasn't right." Friends can slow down the process of correction. Grandma and grandpa can too. They can slow down the process. But know this, that won't be the last time that she pinches, but there will be a last time. Because she's in a family that she was born into, and she's got a mom and a dad who's not going to quit correcting her. You were born into a family. You said that I have admitted that I am a sinner. I mean, we're just talking salvation here. You admit that you were wrong. You admitted you were wrong. You repent of your wrong. You acknowledge that you were wrong. You believe that what Jesus did was right, and he did something that you can't do, and so you commit your life to his righteousness. Therefore, you become perfect in your pursuit of him. The problem is, a lot of people just do that one time, not every day. What do you mean? I thought once you're saved, you were always saved. Let's just talk about this for a second. Once you are saved, you are as right as you will ever be spiritually. But that flesh and that mind every day has to be brought under the blood of Jesus. Every day. How is that done? Through correction. Now, if we can correct ourselves, that's great. But when we signed up for the family of God, we signed up for correction because we wanted his love. And the Bible says those that God loves, he corrects. That's what discipline is. Everyone wants the correction to be over quick. Come on, if I can just get it done, because discipline ain't fun while it's happening. Are you hearing all the scripture just come to life? Discipline's not fun while it's happening. Let's just get it over so I can go on into the new life. So we get saved. God, I'm sorry for everything I've done. Now let's just move on into the new life. That's great, except for tomorrow you end up doing the same thing you did. You just pinched again. What'd you do that for? Because you didn't really get it. And what I'm saying is there are continual things that we do that we start going, oh, as we're looking to Jesus, we start seeing, well, there's some imperfection in me. I want to see Jesus, so I die to that. I got to get rid of that. Discipline does that. Everybody wants to mature quickly. But it takes years of discipline here. Come on, if you're a parent, 18 years of discipline, when some people are like, what are you talking about? My kid's 27 and still. Years of discipline. Now, obviously, they move out of your discipline. And if they know Jesus, prayerfully, they move into the discipline of the Lord. And they're allowing his love to penetrate their hearts. But it takes years to raise a child. You ever feel like you just, every time I turn the corner, I'm having to discipline them again and again and again? Grandparents don't feel that way. Mom and dads, every time. But just, God don't have any grandkids. He's only got kids. And I want you to understand, you get everything right spiritually when you ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. But mentally and physically, there's a maturing that has to take place. Discipline brings maturity. And how you get things quick in your life is you forgive, you're quick to believe, you're quick to respond to correction, you're quick to obey, and you'll start seeing things come a little quicker in your life. You know, there just comes a point, and I've seen it in school here 100 times, where we just problem after problem after problem. And then 13 or 14 years old, sometimes 15, sometimes 17. But remember, sometimes we're still waiting. But here's the thing. All of a sudden, a turn takes place. What happened? They started receiving the correction and not going back there again. I'm not going back to doing that no more. I'm not going to do that no more. I've been corrected. I'm turning, and I'm not doing that no more. I talked a lot about here a few weeks ago, pride. And I talked about Cain and Abel, Genesis 4, and you don't have to turn there. But that's the whole story about Cain and Abel and how Abel outdid Cain with his offering and in pleasing God. But it wasn't Abel's heart to outdo him, but you know, Cain kind of just didn't do what God wanted. Everybody knows the story about the offering and what Abel brought. Nod your head. Come on, camper face. No, no, no. Remember what happened here is we looked and we saw what was happening, and we see that Abel brought what God had wanted, what was acceptable, and Cain brought what he wanted. Abel brought what God wanted. Cain brought what he wanted. And what happened? Did God correct him? God just said, what are you so mad about? That I rejected you? I mean, you didn't bring what I wanted. A lot of people think they're bringing what God wants, and they wonder why their whole life's in shambles. Because they're not bringing what God wants. They're bringing what they want God to want. And I want you to know that God wants you in his word. God wants you signed up for what he's doing. God wants you excited about the life of faith that he's given us to walk in. You know, the first murder in the earth was over an offering. You ever thought about that? The first judgment that happened on the earth was over an offering. Well, what is it about an offering? And I talked about this during the offering in our service. Matthew 6:21. Where your treasure is where your heart is. And if your offering's wrong, your heart's wrong. And if your heart's wrong, it's not perfect. And so we've got to get to a place where we get our heart right. People want to act like an offering is not important. The only problem is you don't see that anywhere in the Bible. Everywhere in Scripture, an offering's very important, very important. Cain brought some stuff. Abel brought the best he had. Abel's offering was received. If you do well, won't you be received? If you do well according to what God said as well. The Lord was giving him an opportunity to get it right. He gave Cain an opportunity. Come on, get this right. Get this right. Today I want you to know he's giving you opportunity to get it right. And I'm not here accusing you. I'm just saying whatever it is that God's laying on your heart, God giving you an opportunity right now. Let's get this right. Let's get this right. We've got some wrong thinking. Let's get this right. Let's just get it right and we'll be all right. And that's what God was telling Cain. The Lord was given an opportunity to get it right. But sin was at the door, and he didn't want to get mastery over that. He wanted to be right. He didn't want to get it right with God. He wanted God to see that what he was doing was right. Isn't that where we find a lot of Christians today? God, you just need to see that what I'm doing is right. Did Cain need to receive correction? What do you think? Yeah, he needed to receive some correction. Did he? Obviously not. See, he was believing lies instead of repenting. You know what would have happened if he would have repented and turned? He'd have been healed. If you go on to read what happened to him, he couldn't even die. God put a mark on him and said, nobody can kill you. He's living a life of misery. I mean, you go on and read a little bit about it. It's kind of amazing. Instead of repenting and letting his heart be healed, letting his hurt be healed. A lot of times, and I want to get into this today. Y'all still with me? I want to get into a little deeper here today. There is a suffering that goes on according to the Word of God, and I want to be quoting Scripture here. And a lot of people don't understand in the Christian life that there is suffering. You say, really? Absolutely. There is suffering in the Christian life. And you say, well, how is that the case? It's not the suffering of being broken in bad health. You're redeemed from the curse of the law. But that doesn't mean you're redeemed from all suffering. You're redeemed from the curse of the law, but you're not redeemed from all suffering. Hebrews 5:8. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. Wow. You ever read that scripture? Jesus was God's son, and he learned obedience from the things he suffered, and then he became perfect. If you are hurt, if you're suffering, because you were corrected, then you need to identify what is it that got hurt. Come on, everybody here has suffered. What is it that got hurt? What is it that got hurt? 1 Peter 2:18. You who are slaves must submit to your masters with all respect. Do what they tell you, not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if they are cruel. We don't like that verse. I just wish that I had never got in there. I don't want to obey my boss. Well, I would say that you can't really not, according to Scripture. Well, they're mean, so I'm not going to obey them. You know, it's even if they're cruel. 1 Peter 2:18, submit to your masters. Sometimes people are put out with someone who did something they didn't like. Can you see that in the story of Cain and Abel? Cain is put out with Abel because Abel did something he didn't like. Abel made Cain look bad. And that's all that Cain could see was how Abel had made him look horrible. That wasn't fair. That wasn't right. Come on, every one of us has seen that. We're suffering. We've got frustration in our life. And we want to real quick point it at somebody. We want to say, it's not my fault that I'm suffering, it's theirs. And so they're hurt over a situation, over which person was right and which person was wrong. 1 Peter 2:19. God is pleased when, conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment. I'm not here to say that you haven't been treated unjustly, but God is pleased when you are conscious of his will and you patiently endure unjust treatment. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you are beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. Well, I just don't think anybody should ever suffer. God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. When you're suffering for doing the right thing, when you did the right thing at work and you're in penalty box for it, see, you got to understand, when you're suffering for doing the right thing, you're just doing what Jesus did. 1 Peter 5:5. I just want to back up everything we're saying with Scripture. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you, dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he'll lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. Church today, does your flesh want to be humbled? Think about that. I think if we were all to answer that, we would say, no. No, I'm not really interested in that. Our flesh don't want to be. Someone says, Pastor, I just don't have much trouble with pride. Yes, you do. Your statement just proved that you did. I don't have much trouble. You have flesh, don't you? Come on, if you got flesh, you got trouble with pride. When you realize that you have pride, then you're able to stay alert, because it's through pride that you start taking on the attributes of the devil. The attributes of the devil are pride and rebellion. The attributes of Christ is a humble and gentle heart. What are you walking in today? 1 Peter 5:8. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, he'll strengthen you, and he'll place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen. The way the devil gets you is to get you proud, get you not submitted to authority, not receive correction when it comes your way. And see, here's the suffering he's talking about. Suffering is not about suffering in health, suffering in this. He's talking about suffering by the work that it takes to get rid of pride, to get rid of flesh. Come on, that is tough. To get yourself buried and a new life in Christ risen. There's a suffering that he's talking about. The suffering is giving up your way. The pride needs to stop, and it needs to be hurt, and it needs to be killed. Come on, church, that's suffering. That's what suffering is talking about here. The suffering that we're talking about is getting rid of us. And you don't realize how much you got of it until you get hurt by it. And the general tendency of people is to blame it on somebody else. Let me tell you today, the Lord will allow situations that expose your pride so that you can get rid of it and he can promote you. God will reveal pride, and sometimes it's real painful when it comes about. Ooh, I didn't really want that. But know this, it's when you recognize it and realize it and say, yep, I needed to be corrected there, that all of a sudden, grace, power comes in to lift you up. It's not fun. It hurts. Why did this bother me so bad? Why am I so mad at so-and-so? Why did they do that to me? See, you got to identify what the real root of the hurt is. The hurt isn't someone else. Cain kept blaming Abel. Are you blaming your mom and dad for what happened and the way you grew up? Well, I was poor. Mom and dad is poor. Everybody else is poor. Everybody's always going to be poor in my family. See, what you just keep blaming everybody else, and it's your pride that needs to be the blame. Get over yourself and realize that God has grace available to you. God has a hope and a future for your life, but it's going to come when you quit blaming everybody else for every frustration in your life. People will say, how can they do this to me? Everything I have done for them, everything I have done, they better treat me different. They just don't appreciate me. I don't have to take, are you hearing the same thing coming up? It's about me. What got hurt? Not what they did to you, your pride. Your pride got hurt. Well, today what I want you to know is you can let that be healed. You can let that be healed. That don't have to get you anymore. Church, there's no such thing as good pride. You might say, well, I just don't really agree. We have really messed this word up and the devil has used it. I mean, I even said today, and you guys know what I mean when someone says this, but I'm proud of the dads here. Did you catch that today? I'm proud of the dads here. We're proud of the dads here. What are we saying? We're well pleased with them. But does that mean that we're taking on the attributes of the devil when we're bragging on our dads? No. We have taken a word and we have used it in a way that pride now is not recognized as sin. What we're saying is we're well pleased with our dads. We're not saying that we're in sin in the way we're thinking about our dads. You hear the difference? I think sometimes we have watered down words in the English language and then we have allowed the bad part of that word to then become who we are. Come on, as dads today, I'm proud to be a man. Well, you probably ought to die to that. Some of you ladies are like, no. What a lot of times we're proud about is the things that need to die. Are the things that need to be put under, they need to be corrected. And are we going to let this be healed? No, we're just going to act like Cain and just let it fester in us. We're going to blame everybody else. It's everybody else's fault. It's that no good boss. It's what they keep asking me. I quit. I'm out of here. Those people, nothing I do is good enough. They don't appreciate me. You need to get over yourself. You need to get over yourself. People quit jobs. They quit church. They quit marriages. They quit things that they didn't quit any of that stuff. They quit God. That's what they quit, because God was trying to correct them and get them to be humble and gentle at heart and let them look more like him. But what they ended up doing was they ended up blaming everybody else. Come on, I'm not trying to step on toes. I'm trying to teach a point here. Well, my point is, if we need to be corrected, are we willing to take it? Are you willing to let pride choke you out and kill you? Or are you going to allow yourself through the blood of Jesus to choke out and kill pride? I'm done with pride taking one of our Christian people. And I don't want to take one more person. We got to get to a place where we're gentle and humble at heart. All of us have it. All of us have it. All of us have to deal with it. It's part of being who we are. It's part of being in this society. Nobody can mess with me. Nobody can teach me anything. Nobody's going to correct me, and I'm not backing down. Well, the problem is, with that attitude, you can't be used by the master. Are you hearing me today? We got to learn to say three simple words. And we'll practice it here in a second. I was wrong. It hurts. How about this one? You were right. I was wrong. You were right. And I will change. Come on, we did that to get saved. Can we do it every day of our life? Young people, go home and say that to your mom and dad. Make sure they're sitting down. I was wrong and you were right, and I'm going to change. If we could start hearing that a little bit more in this life, we'd start walking with the right attitude and we'd experience the grace of the Lord Jesus like we've never experienced it. Come on, let God promote you. Humble yourselves and get yourself lifted up. Humble yourself. You come on. Come on, Pastor. I don't know. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, let me just tell you, you are not an old dog. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ. That's who you are. Blessed are you when you are in. Blessed when you're the head. You're not the tail. Come on. You're more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. How do you get those verses to come alive? You humble yourself. You quit. Kill that pride. How do I do it? With the blood of Jesus, receive the correction. I don't want pride running anything in my life. Come on. Today, repeat after me. I will be teachable. I will be correctable. I'll be humble. I'll be obedient in Jesus' name. Do you believe that today? Y'all stand with me this morning.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.